Wow. Where is everybody? Good morning. I'm glad to see those of you that are here this morning. I know there's some stragglers coming on in. Hope first service was full, but it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Now, I had an announcement I was given, and of course, there was like in and out, and in and out, and in and out up there. So if I'm remembering correctly, pies for the disaster relief auction. If you are baking pies, have them here at the church Friday morning by 8:30. In our house, we always say a half an hour earlier because, you know, we kind of have that problem. So 8:30 on Friday morning, have your pies downstairs in the kitchen, and Wendy Lengel will make sure they get over to the auction. Are there any other announcements this morning? Let's see, I see Rich waving at me back there, so he's going to make his way up. There's lots of things in the bulletin, so read through that. Not while Matt's preaching, but sometime, you know, later today, read through your bulletin.
All right, good morning. After several months of searching and trying to figure some things out, and by the way, special thanks to Michelle and Jean for the wonderful work they did in the office holding us through while we were looking for a new secretary. I can announce that we do have a new secretary who will be starting tomorrow. She is here this morning, so we can put a name and a face together and get a chance to talk to her, after service, and introduce yourself. Don't expect her to remember everybody's name right away. It'll take a long time. But our new secretary will be Connie Davis, and she's back here in the middle. Okay? Thank you.
Welcome, Connie. We're very glad to have you with us. All right, if there's no other announcements, would you stand and join us in the call to worship? O God, you love us more than we can fathom. We thank you for this new day to love and to worship you. Fix our eyes on you, O God, the author and perfecter of life. And lead us into knowing you alone can see us through every storm and valley. Please join us.
Thank you. We have two lovely individuals coming forward to display a quilt. Now, this isn't just any quilt. There was much love, much time, and effort placed into this quilt, and it's going to the disaster relief auction this weekend. So there'll be many individuals gathered who we are going to pray that as we dedicate this quilt would bid a very, very, very high number on it, because if you don't realize what disaster relief does, it helps to reach those who are finding themselves, like South Carolina, in the midst of disaster and rebuilding. So this quilt is being donated so that bidders are able to help the disaster causes that are abundant at this time. So let's pray for the quote. If you extend your hand out towards it, that would be wonderful. Lord, we just want to set this quote apart. You know the hands that have taken much time and much effort to make it. And Lord, you know its final destination. And Lord, you already know who's going to bid on this quilt, and we know the effect it's going to have from the money that it raises. So we just pray, Father, that as we dedicate it to you, Lord, that you would allow it to be used to further your kingdom as we reach out in disaster ministries to help. May the bids be very high, and may the total disaster relief auction be a success, and many people be able to be reached. Thank you for the hands that have made it, and we give this quilt to you, Lord, that it would be used for your benefit and for your cause. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you.
It's always powerful, the meaning that so many songs have, and to be great, to be tall, is to be last of all, to be servant of all. What a powerful message in the children's song. Thank you, Pam and children, for sharing with us this morning. We do want to invite you to share any joys or concerns that you may have with your church family, and there's a microphone coming around. We just ask you to put your hand in the air, and we'll get that microphone to you.
I think as a church of the brethren, we need to have prayer for the child disaster services. They are already being summoned because I saw some posts on Facebook. I'm not sure when they're going, but they have been called to Texas for the major flooding down there.
The
Bryant family was hoping to be with us here this morning, but this is the week that Daniel goes in for his procedure. We just want to ask for safe travels for the Bryant family as they make their way to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And we're asking that you pray specifically on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that seizures would happen. It sounds strange to ask for seizure activity, but in order for them to be able to determine where things are occurring, they need the seizures. So pray, especially Tuesday into Wednesday into Thursday, that more and more seizures would happen so they could locate where the seizures they're looking for or where they're focused is what we're asking this week for Daniel in particular. And the heart, Mary just shared this in our Sunday school class. She asked Daniel, what prayers do you have this week? And he asked for prayers for his sister because his sister's birthday is on Friday and she might be spending that in the hospital. So that just goes to show you what kind of boy Daniel is and such a warm heart he has. So just keep the Bryant family. And Abby has a kidney stone, so keep my daughter in prayer. And she's at Mansfield. And just a small one, she'll be able to pass it on her own. And we're thankful to have Malachi with us this morning. He was off school all week, but he's doing better and looking forward to getting back to school tomorrow. And of course, it's that time of year for Denise to be in flare. So keep Denise in prayer as we endure a flare with her MS. Any other joys or concerns? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, this new day that we can celebrate the life that you have given us. And we know that the life you give us is transformed moment by moment as we continue to trust, as we continue to believe in you and your miraculous work. We're just praying now, especially for Daniel, Lord. You know the procedure he's heading into. And we just pray you would just wrap your loving arms around that child and just allow him to know your presence in a very real way. I pray that too for the family, Lord. You would give them safe travels and you would give them patience and endurance as they await the procedure to be accomplished. And we pray, Lord, that even now those seizures would happen abundantly, that they can find exactly what they're looking for. So just be with the entire Bryant family and their extended family and friends, Lord, and just bless them during this time. And just allow them to know that your will is at work, and we just pray for what the doctors are looking for to happen. We lift up Lisa this morning too, facing surgery on her other eye this week, Lord. We pray that you would be with Lisa and just bless her, Lord, and just give her patience during the time of surgery and that it would be a success. And we just thank you for Lisa's life, Lord, and her family's life, Lord, and just ask that you would be with her in a very special way. And we just thank you, Lord, for little Sotara. We know that we are geared towards loving you and loving others, and pray that each day we would strive to do that. Even those that are difficult to love, we pray, Lord, that we would do so and find ways that are relatable and ways that are applicable to be able to do so. Just thank you for forgiveness of sin. We do take time now to pause and to confess those sins and to receive your forgiveness and to turn from those sins. So thank you during these next few moments of silent prayer that you hear our prayer of confession and also the prayers upon our hearts. Lord, every moment of every day, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the knowledge of our salvation, that we just continue to trust you. We continue to believe in you, and we know that you're at work, even when it seems like you're not at work, Lord. We know you're doing a new thing in our lives and in the life of this church, and we just pray, Father, we would continue to surrender. We would continue to be obedient, and we just thank you for the ministries that are able to just reach out into this world. We think of Children's Disaster Services and the Disaster Relief Auction, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that it would be a successful weekend and much money would be raised for your cause. And just protect those going to various locations for Children's Disaster Service and just use them in mighty ways, Lord. And just thank you for your protection over those families that have been devastated by recent activity. And we just pray, Lord, that you would be with each of us as we go through this week. Help us, Lord, to reach out to someone we might not typically reach out to, and help us, Lord, to love others is what we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
So this Friday and Saturday is the disaster relief auction. Don't know if any of you have not been there. I think most everybody I'm seeing out here has been there before. So you know what's going on. You know what they do. But I'm going to just lay it out a little bit here for you. Okay, you've got a quilt over here. Quilts, they sell for hundreds of dollars. Hopefully thousands would be wonderful. Sometimes those quilts get sold multiple times. That's great. But I don't have money to buy a quilt. But I have money to go buy French fries and a milkshake and Amish donuts and other things I probably shouldn't be eating. Maybe you don't have money for that. Maybe you have a grandkid. They do a children's toy auction. They do auctions of, you name it, all kinds of stuff. They have old coins. Every little bit at that auction, everything there, everything sold, the money goes for disaster relief. So God takes all those little things or big things, and he takes that money and he sends it out into the world so that we can show people God's love. So our offerings today, no matter how big or how little, God uses those to show people his love. Let us pray. Dearest Father in heaven, some of us have a lot to give. Some of us only have a little to give. But no matter what we give, we know you take it, you bless it, you multiply it, and we use it to show your love to this world. Amen. I'd like to invite any of the children that are here this morning to come on up with me. Hi there, Lucas. How are you?
Good.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning?
Good.
Doing good? Okay. You guys know what I have in my hand here?
Yeah.
Now, aren't they itty-bitty, teeny-tiny acorns?
They're babies.
That's a dime. And that acorn, look how little that is compared to that dime. Can you see that?
Yeah.
And we have a picture up on the screen so everybody else can see the teeny-tiny acorns that I found. It's a little bit bigger, yep, exactly.
Tiny one.
Now, what happens to an acorn?
It can break when you step on it.
But what's the final thing? What's the whole purpose of an acorn?
They Squirrels have it.
Squirrels do eat it, but if think bigger. What happens?
And they'll eat it.
What happens if an acorn gets in the ground?
Yeah,
they pick it up.
And
it grows into a tree. Now this itty teeny, eeny weeny, tiny acorn grows into a huge tree. Uh-huh, look, I just bopped you in the head with an acorn. See that tree on the picture there?
Yeah.
That's the tree, these little itty teeny tiny acorns.
Some are bigger.
Did you see that? No, those were by my house. I was taking a walk. And Pastor Matt's going to be talking today. You can go look closer. Pastor Matt's going to be talking about patience.
I have a giant tree.
I know it is a giant tree, but how long do you think it would take this little tiny acorn to grow into a tree that big? How long would it take, Ava?
At a party, and so he wanted to plant it, and he knew it turned into a tree.
Yeah.
And we searched it up, and it would take over 30 years.
30 years, wow, for a little bitty acorn to turn into a tree. Now, we already talked about the fact squirrels plant acorns in the ground. So now what do you think this acorn thinks when it's hanging up on its tree?
No.
And it falls off its tree? That might hurt to fall off a tree.
No.
And it might be scary to get buried in the ground in the dark. And you get all wet and you get mushy and cold. And this acorn, if I'm an acorn like this, I'm thinking, God, why are you doing this to me? I don't like this. This isn't very nice. But I know if I'm patient, all those things that might be a little hard to get through, if I trust God and I let him do what he needs to do in my life and I let him lead me through, I'm going to turn into that great, big, giant, beautiful tree.
That would be giant.
It would be giant,
like,
wouldn't
this
it?
Big.
Like that big, absolutely.
Like this big.
Okay, will you pray with me?
Like that.
Okay, can you close your eyes and pray with me? Okay. Thank you, God, for being with us and for guiding us through things that sometimes might seem a little bit hard to get through. But we know if we trust you, you have great things planned for us in our life. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Precious Lord, we come before your word and we ask that it would soak deep into our souls, that it would change hearts, it would transform minds, and it would enable us to go into this world with greater patience, with the ability to wait on your timing and to know that good things will happen as we wait. Just trust you, Lord, is what we pray. Amen. So if you're anything like the rest of the world, you find it difficult waiting. I mean, why does that word even have to be in the dictionary? From the moment we wake up, we wait for the shower to get hot. And if you're lucky like me and live with a female teenager, then you're blessed to get in the bathroom at all. We wait for the coffee to brew. We wait for the toast to pop from the toaster. We wait for the water to boil. And then we wait in our cars as we travel to work in construction, at red lights, behind tractors, and my favorite, behind horse and buggies on 501. We get to work, we get to school, and we wait for our computers to fire up. We wait for the bells to ring. And then we consider these stats. Every year, we spend around 13 hours on hold. It gives me anxiousness, the thought of even calling the doctor's office. You know what you're going to hear. Please hold. And friends, we know it's a problem when they have to say, thank you for holding. Then there's the average person who spends 6 months of their life waiting in lines. You know it's bad when we start. Common sense goes out the door. I wonder, since when is it not okay to drive the speed limit or to go even 5 miles an hour over without getting honked at and someone on your tail passing you on a double line? But maybe today, once and for all, we can finally say, you know, I don't enjoy waiting. You know, even if it is for good things like ice cream at Plum Creek, or that fresh-made guacamole at Plaza Azteca, or the pizza or apple pie in your oven. You know, we're even anxious for the baby to arrive, for the wedding day to get here, for graduation, for birthday, for Christmas, for celebrations to happen. We want what we want right now. Even yesterday would be better. Fast food's not even fast enough. Well, it was too bad. This was the case for Pearl Waite. What a name, right? It's the man who invented Jell-O in 1897. Now, do we have any Jell-O fans in the room? You'll notice on the screen my favorite color, which is red. And at Easter time, there are these red Jell-O eggs that I extremely enjoy. Now, Waite wore several hats. He was a construction worker, and he dabbled in patent medicines and went door to door selling homemade remedies. In the midst of experimenting, he came upon the idea of mixing fruit flavoring, which I believe this is apricot, with granulated gelatin. His wife named it Jell-O, and Waite thought it was just another product to sell. So unfortunately, sales didn't go as fast as they thought they should. So a few months after developing the product, he sold all the rights to a man named Orator Woodward for $450. Now, Woodward knew the bargain that he had received and understood the value of marketing and patience. It was only an 8 brief years later he turned that $450 investment into a $1 million business. Today, not a single relative of Pearl Waite receives one penny from the 1.1 million boxes of Jell-O sold every day. And what was Waite's problem? Waite just couldn't wait. Friends, it's obvious the last words we want to hear are, hold on, wait just a moment. But it boils down to, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for test results? For a cure? For the healing power of God? Are we waiting for peace in our lives? Are we waiting for comfort, for guidance, for answers? Friends, we realize waiting is never easy. Yet in our passage today, James uses the word patience 4 times in 4 verses. So patience must have meaning for us. If you're able, turn in your Bibles to James 5, 7 to 12. Follow along on the screen, and let's read together. James 5, 7 to 12. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Lord, again this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it entails that word patience, and we know that we are being patient in waiting for your return. But Lord, it can come any day now. We wait on you and we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, we need to remember the context of our audience for our passage scripture. And this was the first generation of Christians. Jesus ascends to heaven, and some expected him to return in a week or even a month. So when the wait went on for years, some were beginning to lose hope, especially as life became difficult. You see, these believers weren't just waiting. They were suffering because of following Christ. And friends, the good news, the comfort for us today is this. The Bible is full of encouragement for those who suffer. Whether it's persecution or whether it's life's daily challenges, Scripture reminds us that God still cares, that God has not abandoned us, that he sits with us in our suffering. And we will find the other side of whatever we're facing stronger than ever before. James even goes on and he gives us 2 examples to make certain we know our future. First, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah would be the best example of a prophet who suffers for speaking the truth. And then our friend Job. Inevitably, when we say the word suffer, we think of Job. And when we think of suffering, we think of Job. And when we think of Job, we think of suffering. Now, why God allows Job's suffering can be an unending debate. James doesn't get to the reason why. He wants us to see Job and others as examples of those who have been blessed at the end of their ride. James isn't getting into whether it's fair or whether it's unfair. He's simply stating the obvious. Suffering will happen. And in essence, he's saying, here's what we friends can do with it. We can make sure first and foremost it doesn't divide us. We don't need to grumble against one another. We can trust that being patient, persevering, and riding till we can't no more will result in being blessed. And finally, friends, we can look at others in the past or those that are around us who have persevered, like the prophets and Job, as examples of those who have gone through intense suffering and found the other side. Job's example shows us that sometimes expressing the anguish, expressing the misery, is part of that process. But what we can know and take away today is this. that throughout suffering, God is always full of compassion and mercy. The Word of God insists that we learn life's greatest lessons while we're patient. As many here can attest, waiting rooms can be the most difficult classrooms. But God promises great rewards to those who wait for Him. You see, God's plan to use those long pauses in life are for our blessing. There's this story about a guy that wasn't having much luck with jobs lately. He couldn't concentrate in the orange juice factory. He wasn't suited to be a tailor. The muffler factory was just exhausting. He couldn't cut it as a barber. He didn't fit in at the shoe factory. Pool maintenance was too draining. And somewhere along the way, he just couldn't see any future as a historian. But this young lad had patience, and with that patience came the ability for him to become a doctor. Friends, when we do things our way, in our own hurried time, what happens? We usually end up defeated. It's like the little boy standing at the end of the escalator, and a lady says to him, "Son, are you lost?" And the boy replies, "No, ma'am, I'm not lost. I'm just waiting for my gum to come back around." Friends, when we wait on God, when we obey His commands, He promises victory. We wait because we realize that we are not writing our own stories. We're writing His story. It's so easy for me to stand here and to say life doesn't always work the way we want it in the time we want it to. And as much as we wish, we don't live in the center of the universe. That place will be occupied always by God and God alone. Friends, it's then that as we ride till we can't no more, waiting becomes easier as we learn that He is God and we are not. So let's keep walking the talk and finding that waiting, yes, waiting, can be the most exciting part of following Christ. Let's continue to thrive knowing there will be times of discouragement. There will be times of disappointment, but waiting on God can and will be good. So take a moment right now and think of that last time you were in that waiting room. In the waiting room, what did we learn? What was our takeaway? Maybe right now you find yourself in that waiting room. You're waiting for relief. You're waiting for any kind of fulfillment whatsoever. So in that waiting room, know that we can thrive believing that He is and will continue to do mighty things in our lives. For we know as we wait that this life is like a vapor. It's like a mist. That what this earth allows to happen in our lives by God Himself won't last forever. For we realize and we trust and we believe that Jesus is coming soon. Would you pray with me? Lord, we know that only your Father knows the date that you will return. But Lord, we know that our lives can often be filled with impatience. We know, Lord, there are many things that vie for our attention each day. There's busyness in our lives that we often forget that in the waiting there is great expectation. That all of this that we face right now will be wiped away. No more disease, no more crying. And we will find peace and we will find contentment in your loving arms. So Lord, help us to endure. Help us to persevere. Help us to love others. And we pray, Lord, that you would find us faithful upon your return. May it be soon and very soon. Amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, we know the power of prayer. In this very moment, Daniel is being taken to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, ER. So if you're able, just reach across, grab the hand of that person next to you, and let's come together and pray for Daniel in this moment. Lord Jesus, we need you in this very hour. You know where your child Daniel and his family are headed right now. You know the seizure activity that he is having. We pray that your hand would be upon him and your hand would be upon those doctors that are attending to him. Just give the family peace, give them endurance, give them patience through this time. But most of all, Lord, we pray for your powerful healing touch upon this precious child. May you be with Daniel and may you allow the seizures to cease. But Lord, we just pray that you would protect him and you would guard him and you would give him what he needs right now in this very moment. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Go loving one another. Go serving one another. Go knowing that God is with you. Amen.